You may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you. Thanks for deciding to come to chapel today. If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn with me this morning to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. In English. Proverbs 23. Lord directed me, I think, to a topic that's very applicable to college students, but I think it's applicable to anyone that's a son or daughter. Maybe you're like me, and sometimes growing up you wondered, man, I wish I was a better son. Sometimes when you come to college, you maybe, like me, had some regrets about, man, I wish I could have done this a little different. Wish I could have done that a little different. Wish I could have, done things differently. The Lord led me to a topic this morning that I think will be helpful. And I'm just going to entitle it this: how can I be the right son or daughter? How can I be the right son or daughter? And I know there's some here that you've had an extremely good home life. Thanks, whatever happened back there. And, of course, we've already had one leave. And the invitation's this way. Okay, but... sometimes a college student will come to college and they'll say, I'm kind of done, if we can say it this way, kind of done with my home life, and I'm kind of done with the relationship that I have with my mom and dad. And I'll state very plainly, if your mom or dad is alive, you still have a great responsibility. And if your mom and dad has already gone into eternity, you still have a great responsibility as long as you're alive. I don't take any opportunity lightly. When I got asked to preach in chapel immediately, I thought, man, what a privilege, what an opportunity. I'm thankful for our pastor. I would ask you, he's got I'm sure, extremely busy week this week. I think he'll be with us later this week. But as I think of my pastor, he's got 4 funerals this week, and along with all of the other responsibilities, but I love my pastor. And as I got to be the best man in a wedding this weekend, I just got to sit in his office with Kevin Easton, who got married on Saturday, beautiful wedding. And I've gotten, I think, more responses about trying to help with the train of the dress than any response I've ever had for any wedding I've ever been a part of. But that's a whole other lesson for another time. But have you ever thought these thoughts, my parents just don't understand? You ever thought that it was different in my parents' day? We already heard Brother Collins talk about it, and I have here in my notes, my parents had to walk uphill both ways in the snow without shoes. Someone sent me a picture of their parents walking to school, and it has a huge cliff all of snow, and they're walking to school. It had to be challenging in their day, right? They didn't have a cell phone when they were my age. The internet had just come out in some cases. They didn't have to deal with the problems I'm dealing with. They didn't have peer pressure like me. They didn't know what it's like to be me. I wish they understood what I'm truly going through, and again, sometimes, and even as a parent with a college student and another 18-year-old and a 16-year-old, sometimes I don't fully understand some of the problems and difficulties and challenges that they may be going through. But let me remind all of us this morning, God knows what you're dealing with, and God knows what you're going through, and God's already there. I don't know what burden you came in with this morning. I don't know what challenges you came in with this morning. I don't know what difficulties you have today, but what a God we get to serve. Had the privilege of preaching in Spanish. That's why somebody asked about Spanish. I think because they had eaten some salsa yesterday or something, but got to preach in Spanish on Wednesday evening about how God loads us with his benefits, that God is loaded. And by the way, you're loaded this morning because of God. Some may say this morning, I wish my parents cared more. And again, if you are a parent this morning, this is not a slam to us as parents, but I think these are some thoughts that maybe college students have. Maybe I wish my parents were helping me with my school bill. Okay, maybe that's a thought that some people have, maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe some of you would say this morning, there's no way I can match up to what they think I should be or what I ought to be. Maybe some of you are tired of trying, and you even make the statement in your own heart and mind this morning that I don't know if it's even worth trying. Maybe some of you come in this morning and you're just saying, I'm doing the best I can. Maybe you're like me as a son growing up in a good, godly home, and I know not everyone has that testimony, but if you have that testimony, you ought to thank God this morning. My mom's already got a better view than I do. She's been in heaven now a little over 3 years. And there have been many a days where I say, man, I'll call mom about that. And I can't call her anymore. I'm just kind of as a side note as I jump into the message and give you the text this morning. Call your parents while you still can. Write your parents while you still can. Text your parents while you still can. Don't whine and gripe about your parents. God thought that was the best place for you to grow up. And so he put you in that home. And by the way, your parents put you in their home because they thought you'd be the child that God would want you to be in that home. God put you where he wanted you, and God put your parents where he wanted them, and God's in charge of everything. But look at Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. If you can find Romans 23, you're doing real good this morning. But Proverbs chapter 23 this morning. In the passage, we see several statements, of course. First of all, before we get into the passage, in verse 21 talks about the drunkard, talks about the glutton, talks about drowsiness, several sins mentioned there. Look at verse number 22. It says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly what? Rejoice. And he that begetteth the wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad. She that bare thee shall rejoice. And then it says, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. And it goes into speaking about a whore, immorality, and then goes back again to drunkenness. But kind of snug in between these two sins is how we should be as a child. And I'm going to, if you're used to taking notes, I don't always give quite a few notes. I'm going to give you a crossing this morning on parents. Parents. I'm going to give you several passages. I'll read those to you. I may have you turn to several of those as we get along. A familiar passage is Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Of course, there's a responsibility of a child obeying their parents. And I understand once a child then begins caring for their bills and caring for what they have, there's a little bit of a difference. When I came to college, I began paying for my own bills. And sometimes my parents would say, if it's possible, we'd like for you to do this. And sometimes I was able to do that. Sometimes I was not able to. And I'd say, Mom, I've got to work. Dad, I've got to work. I can't do that. But if I ever could, I was glad the times that I was able to go home, glad the times that I was able to help my parents with situations they were going through. Genesis chapter 28, verses 6 and 7 says, when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him a wife from thence, that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. And I look at the situation here. He was deciding who he was going to marry, and guess who he asked? He asked his parents, what should I do in this situation? I would recommend that as you get into dating, kind of, again, a side note, but if you're dating someone, it may be good to talk to your mom and dad and say, what do you think? I know at 17 and 18 and 19, we think we've been there, done that, got the T-shirt, and are beginning to sell T-shirts. That way we can make our way through college. But I plead with you, when I began dating, I dated several girls in college, not at the same time. Stay with me here. But each time before I dated a young lady in college, I asked mom and dad, I know you don't know this person, but would you pray about it before I ask her out? I'd like for you to pray, number one, that if she's the one, that she would say yes. Number two, would you pray and see if it's God's will? And there were sometimes my mom and dad said, we can't explain it, but you shouldn't ask that young lady out. And guess what? I didn't ask her out. But it's really hard to get married without dating. Let's continue here. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 20, and David rose up early in the morning. He left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to a trench as the host was going forth to battle and shouted for the battle. A lot of times we'll look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. We love that particular question. Is there not a cause? And I understand the cause was ultimately he was going to fight Goliath. Ultimately, he was going to battle Goliath. Ultimately, God was going to help him win that battle there. However, the whole purpose of his going to the battle was to bring his brothers lunch. I mentioned this in the Life of David class. I think it was last week or the week before. How would you like it when Samuel came to your house to anoint someone as king? Your dad didn't even think you could be king, so you're the only one still doing your chores where all your brothers are hoping they would be king. And he looked around and said, don't you have someone else? And he's like, yeah, but he's keeping the sheep. Well, he's the one. How many of you have siblings? Would you raise your hand? Okay, you can put your hands down. To see the look on your faces as you raised your hand, it looks like you have an extremely good home life there. And sometimes it's challenging because if you're like me, I have a younger brother who made a 33 on the ACT. I made a 36, but he made a, just joking. That was what I made on some of my quizzes in college. But I thought, man, isn't that good? I mean, that's what you made on your ACT, right? Yeah, some of you just tuned in. I appreciate that. Thanks for your help there. Yeah, okay. Back to prayer. Okay, but look, would you look back with me at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8? It was challenging sometimes growing up with a younger brother who I remember the day his teacher came to my parents' home and said, mentioned to my parents, he should probably skip a couple of grades. And I was like waiting for my teacher to come. Like, could my teacher come? I mean, I'll bring her. I'll invite her. Not a big deal. But I remember the day. I'm like, really? Like, is this a joke? Like, where's the candid camera? And as mentioned last week, none of you know what that is. But for Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8, it says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 20. And so I know sometimes it's challenging to deal with it. I have a twin brother, and yet he's about 4 or 5 inches taller than I am. And many times, especially when we were 12 and 13, they would think he was 16 or 17, and they would think I was like 9 or 10 at that time. People ask me all the time, you know, what do you think I'll be when I grow up? I really just want to grow up. But Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 20 says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. I'm going to give you several ideas, several points that I think could help you this morning. I don't know where you're at. Sometimes we smile, and the person with the biggest smile has the biggest hurt on the inside. Sometimes a person that seems to be doing fine in his staff and faculty, somebody might ask, how is so-and-so doing? Oh, they're doing great, but only you know how you're doing this morning, and only you know how your relationship is with your mom and dad. I have found out through life, if you have a difficult relationship with your mom and dad, you will probably have a difficult relationship with your spouse one day. I remind every young lady, make sure that you watch that young man that you're considering and that you're thinking about, and he's asked you out and you've had some dates. See how he treats his mom. That's probably how he'll treat you one day. And vice versa, see how she treats her dad, because that's probably how she'll treat you one day. That's probably too direct for a chapel service, but I think I'll help you this morning. The first letter is the letter P. I'll use the term prayer this morning. I'm going to read some passages. I'll give you some illustrations here. But Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You know God answers prayer this morning? Can I ask us a question? I understand that our parents should pray for us, but when was the last time we stopped and we prayed for our parents? I prayed for my kids this morning. I love our kids. And I would do anything that I could for them and as they try to serve the Lord and try to do what's right. But I ask you, when was the last time, instead of you saying, Mom and Dad, are you praying for me? When was the last time you said, Mom and Dad, I just want to let you know I prayed for you this morning? Man, that's good. You say, why do they need prayer? Because they have to deal with us. Everybody still with us? I remember the day, it seemed like a really good idea for my brother to put me in a basket and and see how fast we could make it down the stairs. I remember that day. I remember the day that my younger brother decided to see if our dogs, Pekingese, by the way, they seem to run into parked cars, but Pekingese, he threw them in the pool, and I said, "Why are you throwing our dogs in the pool?" He said, "Let's see if they can swim." And they made it. They did the doggy paddle, by the way. It was funnier than that. It's okay. Too late, Noah. I remember the day my brother thought it was a really good idea. We were out of pepper, so he went outside, and he started scraping up some of the black dirt. He put several earthworms in there, and he said, "Dad will probably see it." I remember him putting it on the table, and my dad didn't normally eat breakfast before he went to work, but I remember that day, for whatever reason, he had eggs that morning. Like, bad choice, Dad. Like, take a protein bar today, Dad. And I remember my dad doing that, and I remember my dad, as he put the pepper on there, "This is a little gritty this morning." I said, "Yeah, I can give you a couple reasons why." Remember several situations. You know your parents need prayer this morning? Partially because of you. Everybody still with me this morning? I'm going to state it plainly. I'll go into this a little later, but if your parents are unsaved, they desperately need prayer this morning. If your parents are saved, they need prayer this morning. Many of you don't know how it is. I know it's a school book that you have, and it's coming due soon. Everybody still with me this morning? Sorry if I just lost you on that one. But you don't know what it's like to pay for a house. You don't know what it's like to pay for the insurance and the vehicles and all that comes along with it. I'm not whining or griping about it, but what I am saying is I think sometimes we take for granted what our parents have done for us. I think we take for granted that a mom went to literally death's door to deliver you into this world. And she could have decided, like a lot of other people, to abort you, like seems to be in fad for a lot of people, and it's still a murder. Everybody still with me this morning? But you ought to think, if for no other reason they gave you life, they've done a lot of other things for you, but they've given you life this morning. Number one, or the first point, is prayer. The second of all is admiration. Admiration. I don't know, sometimes we say, what is, and if we're not careful in our pride state or in our proud state, we would say, what is there to admire about my mom and dad? Well, first of all, they cared for you when you couldn't care for yourself. See, I remember getting the phone call from my mom. She said, "You may want to come see Dad." She said, "Last night, I think he had a stroke." And I said, "Mom, I'm on my way." This has been about 8 or 9 years ago. And I said, "How did it happen?" She said, "We were heading back to the house, and we stopped at a McDonald's on the way back, and my dad started walking towards the door and found himself 10 or 15 feet from the door, and he couldn't figure out why." And I remember going and sitting by the bedside of my dad as he had a brainstem stroke, and I remember him helping me. I won't go through the whole scenario. I remember getting the phone call that my mom was days before she was probably going to pass away, and her heart had stopped. They had 15 to 20 people get her heart started back again after 15 minutes. And I got to spend the next 9 days by her bedside before she went home to be with Jesus. Man, I admire my parents. My dad worked for IBM for 22 years. I never remember him taking a day off. I used to hate it that we used to carpool. There was the guy that drank coffee. I hated coffee at the time. I hated the smell of coffee. And he came every single morning with his little coffee cup. I wanted so bad to, like, toss the coffee cup out the window. Please pray for me. I wasn't a real good son sometimes. I remember asking my mom one day, why aren't you home when we get home from school? And she said, because I got to go to work as a nurse. And for 12 years, she worked as a nurse so we could go to a Christian school. Tens of thousands of dollars so that we could go to school. Stay with me here. Pay attention. I remember they're going to games. I remember some of the games we went to, I sat on the bench until the last 5 seconds, and then they got a sense that we can clap for everyone. They had just played the whole game, and we come out, and then they... And I remember several games, they traveled 7, 8, 9 hours to go to the game to see us sit on the bench the entire game. And then they would say, "You did such a great job." I'm like, "Okay, Mom and Dad, really, Mom and Dad? I really appreciate that, you know. Was there a game, you know?" I think about all the meals that Mom cooked. I think about all the clothes that she washed. I think about the caring for home. I think about going to school plays. I think there ought to be some admiration. I think we need to stop for a little bit, because if God will, if time continues and God allows you one day to get married and to have children, it'll be in your ballpark, and one day you want your children to admire you. But it's not going to happen if we don't admire the parents that God's already given to us. But not only admiration, I think the next letter I've got, letter R, is respect. I think a key word missing in our generation is the word respect. It's not yeah, it's yes, sir. You say, but I'm not in a Christian school anymore. No, but you are a Christian, right? I mean, I believe there ought to be some respect. Your dad's not the old man or the man upstairs. Your mom's not the old lady. It's yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, ma'am, no, sir. And beyond that, don't just say it with your words. I plead with you, follow their beliefs. Because there's nothing more than a slap in the face to have children that you've trained and that you've worked with and you've taught diligently from a child, and then they decide to walk away with everything that you have taught them and everything they believed. I plead with you. You ought to go back and listen to the message last week about the liberty that we have in Christ. I mentioned to a class this morning that we don't have to be here. I didn't have to come and teach this morning. You didn't have to come to college. It is a blessing. It is a privilege. It is a joy that we get to come here this morning. I think we ought to keep the right standards. I think we ought to live a life that glorifies God. Would you look with me at Exodus chapter 20? Exodus chapter 20 this morning. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12. We're talking about, can I be the right son? Can I be the right daughter? And again, I know some of these things are basic. Some of these things you've heard many, many times. But I think for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit believed that we needed a reminder again this morning. Sometimes we get so busy dating here that we fail to realize that we have parents that packed our lunch to get here this morning. I think sometimes we get so busy in the ministry, we're happy, and I think you ought to be in the ministry. I think you ought to knock on doors. I think you ought to bring people to church. I believe you ought to work on the bus route. I believe you ought to win souls to Christ. I believe you ought to disciple converts, but also you ought to do all of that and also stay up with your parents. The letter P is prayer. The letter A is admiration. The letter R is respect. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. But look back at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20, please. Proverbs 20, verse 20. Everybody turn there with me, if you would. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 20. You know, there are no perfect parents. I know some of you, there are also no perfect children. There are no perfect college students. There are no perfect teachers. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 20. Look here. Proverbs 20, 20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be what? Put out in obscure darkness. I know of situations where parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, they didn't respect like they should respect, and it seems like God may have cut their life a little short because they decided not to respect the people that were in charge of them, the people that were their mom, the people that were the moms and the dads. I don't want that to happen to me. For sure, you don't want that to happen to you. So letter P, we said prayer. Letter A, we said admiration. Letter R, we said respect. Letter E, I put down the word eternity. Say, what does that have anything to do with the right son or daughter? Well, I ask you the question, if you have a mom or dad that's not saved this morning, wouldn't you want them saved? Help me out this morning. Wouldn't you want them saved? And if you have a mom or dad, stay with me. My mom's in heaven, and you know what? I think since she's passed away, I tried to be a good soul winner before then, but I've kind of ramped up my game in soul winning. You know why? She's done with her vapor here. She can't get any more rewards here, but guess what? She invested in me, and I want to keep putting rewards in her account. Everybody still with me this morning? I decided a long time ago, if mom and dad could do all that they could when it was time for me to get saved, all I had to do was, Dad, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. And my dad said, let me show you from the Bible how you can get saved. And my mom and dad invested in me and discipled me and trained me and worked with me. I want it to be good for mom in heaven today. I don't want to live a life that would disrespect mom and dad. I don't want to live a life that would be sinful and that would bring reproach to my mom and dad. I want to live a life that they would say, that's my son. There's nothing greater as a son, even at 44, than to hear my dad say, I'm proud of you, son. The last week of my mom's life, I probably told her 1,000 times, Mom, I love you. Because she'd come back, half of her body was paralyzed, and she'd say, I love you too, son. probably 1,000 times, I stayed through the night. Then I would go to sleep for 2 hours, and I would come back for the next 22 hours to stay by her bedside, and many times she'd wake up. Jeremy, you still there? I said, yes, Mom, I'm still here. She said, okay, I can go back to sleep then. She didn't want to be alone. She didn't want to be by herself, and somebody was by her bedside. I was by her bedside most of the time, but I had other brothers and my dad being by her bedside. But eternity, 2 Peter 3:9. Would you turn there with me, 2 Peter 3:9 this morning? By the way, I can teach you how not to do it, how not to win a family member to Christ. I learned myself how not to do it. I had several relatives, two uncles particularly, 2 Peter 3:9, but two uncles specifically that didn't believe in Christ. And every time I would see them without saying I love you, without caring for them, immediately I had another track in my hand because I so desperately wanted them to get saved. And you know what I learned after that? You know what I learned while I was in college by some of the messages? Rather than trying to cram the gospel down their throat, I just needed to be a good nephew so when the time came for them to get the gospel, they'd want to hear the gospel. But unfortunately, I felt like I kind of crammed the gospel down their throat. If you have a mom or dad that's not saved, you know the best thing you can do is be the best son or daughter you can be. Care for them. Love them. Be there for them. Call them. Write them. Do all that you can. Be the best. Be the type of son that you would want to have. Be the type of daughter that you would want to have one day. Eternity. One day we're going to see, we're going to be in heaven for eternity if we've trusted Christ as Savior. I've got a father-in-law that I don't believe saved. And I have prayed for him. I have fasted for him. I have begged God for him. You know what? I mentioned in a class recently, I think it was systematic theology. There's one day that I'm not looking forward to, and it's the day when people are cast into the lake of fire. Because I'm concerned on that day, I'm going to recognize some of the people that are cast into the lake of fire. And I'm going to say, man, I wish I would have said something. I wish I would have prayed a little bit more. I wish I would have fasted a little bit more. I wish I would have worked a little harder. I wish I would have knocked on some more doors. I wish I would have been a better neighbor. I wish I would have been a better relative. But it'll be too late then. But guess what? You still have time today. Do what you can today. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. Letter N is notes. Notes. Now I know what we all say. I'm not good at writing. Neither am I. Your parents don't need someone that's going to write a book to write them a note. They just need a loving son or daughter to stop what they're doing and write them a simple note and put a stamp on there and say, Mom and Dad, I just want to let you know that I love you. I brought this morning one of the birthday cards that I got this last year. This was from my 18-year-old. And this said, Dad, whatever you do, you make it fun. You're the kind of dad who always made time we spent together so much fun. There are a lot of reasons to love you, but that kid at heart, which is kind of me, but that kid at heart thing, I'm going to grow up one day, but I'm not there yet, is one of the best. And there's no better time than your birthday to wish you as many smiles as you always bring to us. I love you, Dad, and you're the best dad I could have asked for, your son, Jeremy. And if you know who he is, don't tell him because he'll get really mad at me that I brought that in chapel today. But it's too late and he's not here. I took a couple pictures of notes that I've received from Katie, who's in there this morning, and she likes to be embarrassed, so I'll embarrass her again today. Thank you for being such a great daddy and the best daddy in the whole wide world. I also want to thank you for sending Jeremy, Andrew, and I to a Christian school. Thank you for being a godly influence in my life and my favorite preacher. Already knew that, but you're the best daddy ever is another note that I got. Another note that I got from our kids. Daddy, I love you, and I thank God that you're my dad. I like this one. This one was, and Andrew's going to kill me for this one, but he's also not here today. He's in school, I think. To my dad, this is Acts 10:2. One of the teachers did it for him, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. But on the back of it, I loved it. It says, Dear Dad, I love you. Thank you for, instead of for signing my Bible, it says for sending my Bible. Thank you. And this was written last year, and I'm just joking. It says, thank you for being my dad. And then it says, and thank you for marrying my mom. I just loved it. I thought it was great. It was great. That was a good choice right there. My brother called me the day they were going through my mom's clothes. I'm glad I wasn't there. I don't think I could have handled it. He said, man, I went through her clothes, and he said, we'd have to cry for a little while, and we'd try to go through some more clothes and cry for a little while, and we'd go through some more clothes. He said, there was one note that Mom had in her room. She said it was a note that she wrote to her 3 weeks before she passed away. And this is what the note said. This is a note that I wrote to my mom. I was thanking the Lord for your investment in my life. Thank you for who you are and what you have allowed me to become for the Lord. Thank you for the birthday card and the money you sent me this past week. I love you more than words could ever say, and I appreciate you more now than ever. Thank you for being a constant Christian and for your vibrant testimony of what Christians should be. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord and to each other. I think if we were to, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if we were to have you raise your hand, I think we would be very shocked at how many people have written their parents in the last week or two. Not trying to give you a hard time. What I'm saying is you'll never regret writing those letters. They'll cherish those letters. They'll keep those letters. I have all the letters that my children have written to me. I have all of them. So why do you keep those? Because on a difficult day when I feel like, man, this is a challenging day, I realize that kids are looking to me. Everybody still with me this morning? Some of those I can't read in chapel. But let's continue here. Letter P is the word prayer. Letter A is the word admiration. Letter R is the word respect. Letter E is the word eternity. Letter N is the word notes. And then letter T, I put the word time. I put the word time here. The Bible says redeeming the time. That literally means to rescue from loss. Because you have the choice today. You have the choice what you're going to do with your time today. Someone once said, time is the greatest gift you can give someone, because once you give your time, you are giving a portion of your life that you can never get back. You know, I'm going to be very careful how I say this, and I hope my dad doesn't listen to the message. But there have been several times I've called my dad recently. He's got dementia. And he'll tell me the same story that he's told me the last 5 phone calls. And then he'll ask me, Jeremy, have I told you this? And I said, yes, Dad, but tell me again. I love my dad. My dad's not perfect. But he sure did teach me the fear of the Lord. I'm going to move on from there. I'm glad that my dad encouraged me in church and encouraged me. And I'll never forget waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning on rare occasions, and I'd go into our den and I would see my dad on his knees. And I would stay there just long enough to hear my name in prayer. And then I would go back to sleep and then act like I'd been sleeping the entire time. And my dad would say, it's time to wake up. And of course, we were always 5 more minutes. And we gave my dad such a hard time growing up. And I think I've reaped that with. But let's continue here. Last letter I'll give you this morning is letter S. And then I'll say, what's the takeaway? Letter S is spirit. Excuse me. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. You know what you ought to have? You ought to have a good attitude. I've reminded a lot of classes. I've reminded our Sunday school class and our local outreach ministry. I've reminded in a lot of places that I've been. You know what the only thing you can decide about most situations is your spirit. You know when it's snowing outside, you know what I thank God for? The snow. You know, I left our house this morning, I think it said -1. And then Andrew encouraged me by saying, Dad, I think it's 4 degrees now. I said, thank you, son. I really appreciate that. But you know, I immediately said, Lord, thanks for the cold weather. I'm not going to change the weather, but I can keep my attitude right. So, but you don't know my roommate, but you don't know my teacher, but you don't know my work, but you don't know. If God's given you another day to serve him, we ought to have a good spirit about it. Our life's not horrible. We have food to eat. We have clothes to wear. We have a Bible to read. We have churches, a church to attend. Churches? What? No, church to attend. We have teachers that care. You have parents that love you. You have fun to be had. So what's the takeaway? Let me give us several points here in the next 2 minutes, and I'm done. Number one, love your mom and dad. I said, love your mom and dad. But you don't know my mom and dad. I don't have to know your mom and dad to realize that we ought to love our mom and dad. You don't know what my home life was like. No, I don't. But I know the Bible that God is good to those who decide to love their parents no matter what. I mean, they loved us no matter what. They helped us no matter what. Number two, honor your mom and dad. Honor your mom and dad. Number three, make things right between you and your mom and dad. So I got a chip on my shoulder. Mama, some of us have become bitter because of what happened at home. Find a counselor, find a teacher, find a staff member. Ladies, find a lady staff member. A men, find a men staff, a male staff member, and say, can you help me? I don't have the right attitude. Make it right today. Don't bring that into a marriage. Don't bring that into your children one day. Decide today, I want to be the right son or the right daughter. That's a choice that you have to make. Number four is to call, text, or write your mom and dad today. And you know what we immediately say? I don't have time for that. We have time for everything under the sun except for to treat our parents like we should treat them. Number five, be the best son or daughter you can be. So number one, love your mom and dad. Number two, honor your mom and dad. Number three, make things right between you and your mom and dad. Number four, call, text, or write your mom or dad. Number five, be the best son or daughter you can. Number six, if they're unsaved, witness to them. Witness to them. Give them the gospel. Do all that you can there. Lastly, and maybe most important on the list, is live a life that pleases the Lord and honors your parents. Live a life that pleases the Lord and honors your parents. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. I'm going to ask you to stand up this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand up this morning. If you go ahead and stand, I'm going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes. As the piano begins to play, maybe you need to come forward. Maybe you need to make things right in your own heart. Maybe you need to make some decisions. Man, I want to be the right type of son. I want to be the right type of daughter. I believe if we could make good decisions today, we could save marriages and families in the future. If we could say, I want to be the right type of son today. I want to be the right type of daughter today. And if everything's good, maybe you should just thank the Lord for your parents this morning. Your parents have done a lot for you. Let's be the right type of an example. People are watching you. People are watching me. Let's be the right type of son and daughter.